just wonder how this coronavirus is affecting everyone.
I lost him again.
Yeah.
I'm speaking through the phone because, unfortunately, I can't get.
Yeah, you're okay. You're on. Yeah.
Okay now.
Yeah. Okay now, Jim. Yeah.
Right. let's hope it works this time. Because this coronavirus has been a right pain, if I can call it that, and yet I shouldn't, because by calling it a pain, I'm sort of sinning things against God, like Gamaliel warned the Sanhedrin. You know, don't say things like this, otherwise you might find yourself fighting against God. So let's see what happens. But this coronavirus has certainly altered our lives. I mean, normally, Gloria and I would be down in Weardale. We love going into Weardale and up to Tunstall Reservoir. And, you know, we haven't been able to do that this spring because we've been locked in for 7 weeks. And so we can't go. Now, Tunstall Reservoir is a favourite place of ours. And we like to go there. I don't know if any of you know where Tunstall Reservoir is. But, you know, Margaret Aykroyd, when she used to live in Walsingham, the road to Tunstall Reservoir is more or less directly opposite where Margaret used to live. And I'm sure a lot of you who I'm talking to today will remember Margaret, or Maggie, as we used to call her, and have often been at her house. She used to make a cup of tea and give you a biscuit when we went. And we went one time into Margaret's house, and she told us about the prayer that she had given. She was trying to get to Darlington Meeting on a Sunday, and she had to get two buses. One bus into Bishop Auckland, and then a connection from Bishop Auckland out to Darlington. And as she was travelling towards Bishop Auckland, there was a hold-up, and the bus was going to be late. And so she prayed that the bus that she would connect to in Bishop Auckland to take her to Darlington would be held up for her. And so when she got to Bishop Auckland, the bus was still there. And when she got on the bus, the driver said, "Oh, you're lucky, missus. I should have been gone ages ago." And Margaret said to herself, "You didn't have a chance. God has kept you here for me." And so the first thing that gets to you is God listens to prayers. God speaks to us. And how does God speak to us? Well, he spoke to Moses with the burning bush when he said, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." But God doesn't speak to us that way, does he now? He speaks to us in different ways. As you leave where Margaret used to live and head towards Tunstall Reservoir, there are quite a few cherry bushes, and they are blossoming at this time. So here's God speaking to us, because God makes the seasons. God is speaking to us, not through the burning bush like he did to Moses, but by the blossoming bush that he has given to us. And so we head on up towards Tunstall Reservoir. Now, just before you get to, when you get to Tunstall Reservoir, on the left-hand side there's a big house, and there's a drive of about, maybe it's half a mile, three-quarters of a mile long. And that drive would have been lined with daffodils. As I say, we haven't been able to go there this year, so I'm recalling memories where we've seen the daffodils lining the drive to this house. And there are thousands of them. As I say, it's about three-quarters of a mile long. And there are thousands of these daffodils. And I like to think, right, there's 144,000 daffodils. You know where I'm getting at. Because these daffodils have been in the ground. Nobody could see them. There was nothing there. And then the spring comes along and these daffodils come through the ground. And they come out and they have these flowers which are singing praises to God. So once again, there's another thing there which reminds me of just how God acts in our lives and how he still speaks to us, even though we can't exactly hear his words. So when you get to the reservoir, you look at the reservoir and it's in this little valley. So what do you think of? I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. So once again, I see God in this. And on the reservoir, it's in a valley. It's nice and calm. But occasionally the wind will get up and blow down the valley. And the waves will start and they will crash against the reservoir wall. It makes me think of when the Lord Jesus was in the boat and the disciples were there and Jesus was asleep. And the disciples came to him and said, Lord, save us, we perish. Surely we should be saying that to Jesus now, isn't it? We are in this boat which Jesus is asleep. Let's cry to him and wake him and get Jesus to come and save us because, Lord, we perish. As we travel further up the reservoir, we get to the far end. And there's what we call the maternity field. Because all there is in there is a load of sheep. And these sheep are all in the process of having the lambs. And so we often see lambs being born as we stand there. And so we see these lambs. And what do you think of when we see newborn lambs? I'm getting a bit of interference here. I'm going to see these lambs. You think of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Yes, once again, God is speaking to us. And then we come to the top and we have to turn and come back. So what does the Bible say when we are told to turn back? It says we repent. And that's what we should be doing, repenting of the sins that we commit. We don't mean to commit, but we do commit them, so we turn back. And as we look there, we look and we see these dry stone walls. These dry stone walls that have been built and the snow and the ice have got into them. And they've caused so fast. Can somebody there to say that you can still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Okay, right. Thanks, Ivan. Right, so we see these dry stone walls which have been crumbled in places. And so we think of ourselves as living stones built in the temple of God. So once again, we get back. Well, that's something that I have to look back to because I haven't been able to see it this year. But what can I see this year which reminds me about God? Well, we're in lockdown. We can walk the short exercise walk. Now, about 2 minutes from where we live, we come into a wood. And we can walk through the wood. So what does that remind me of? Well, my favourite psalm, my favourite hymn, hymn 110. Went through the woods and forest glades I wander. I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then it turns my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. So, once again, I can see God in when we go for our little walk. Now, as we come out of the woods and we walk back around, past the houses, what do we see when we pass the houses? Something like this. Can you see that? Not very good. Emily did that for us. Now, a little rainbow. We see them all over the place. But one thing Emily has done with this rainbow, she's done it in the right order. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Remember the phrase, how we get that? Richard of York gave battle in vain. I like to think that Jesus, our Lord, gave battle and won. So when I see these rainbows in the window, it reminds me of the love that Jesus had, how he gave his life for us. And it reminds us of the promise that God made, that God would never again destroy the world by a flood. It shows the love of God, the love that God has for each one of us. Now, on a Thursday, we clap hands for the NHS, for those who are trying to save lives. We think of those who are in the front line, the doctors and the nurses, who gave their lives that we might have life. What does that remind you of? It reminds you of the Lord Jesus, the one who gave his life that we might have life. And so we clap our hands, we bang the pans. I want to read a little passage to you out of Psalm 150 and see if this reminds you of anything. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what does that remind you of? Praise the Lord with clashing cymbals. When people are standing there praising the NHS staff who gave their lives that we might have life, praising them with pans and banging them. And so we, when we see that happening, when hands are clapped, we think of those who gave their lives, but we also think of the Lord Jesus who gave his life that we might have life. There's been such an outcry about nurses and people in care homes, doctors, not getting their PPE, their personal protection equipment. We also have got personal protection equipment if we will get it and look for it. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the all saints. Look, there we're told to keep alert. And what have we just been told? What Boris Johnson's going to say, 7 o'clock tonight, we've been forewarned a little bit. Instead of saying, stay home, he's now going to tell us to stay alert. He's putting this, and yet we have the PPE, we've got this whole armour of God that is there for us, and we have to put it on, we have to wear it, we have to use it. And so we have that. Now, the people are looking for a vaccine, and they're asking people who have had this coronavirus to come and donate blood, that they can use that blood and save others. Well, what does this remind us of? Who do we know who gave his blood that he might save others? The Lord Jesus. So when we see these things happening on the television, all these things which are telling us about the coronavirus and all these things that we have to do about the self-isolation, we can think of God, because there were many times when people were self-isolated. And I'm sure, you know, you've heard them in the past. You know, we've got Jeremiah when he was cast into the pit. We've got Elijah and Elisha, you know, who were self-isolated. We've got others who were self-isolated like that. And so we have them. So we can do that. Now, we're expecting at, I think, 7 o'clock tonight when Boris Johnson's going to be talking about how he's going to ease up on the lockdown. And we're all looking forward to this lockdown being ended, where we can get out and when we can meet with one another. And that's this lockdown from coronavirus. But the prayer that we're really given is that God will end this lockdown and that we will all be able to meet, and we will meet in God's kingdom, and there we'll rejoice in all the things that God has done for us, the love that God has shown for us. So this lockdown that we're going through now, once again, it reminds us of the love that God has for each one of us, and that there is something special for us. You know, they're talking about when lockdown ends, we'll be able to do all these things that we haven't been able to do. That there'll be a change in our lives, that no longer will we be sort of everyone jumping into cars and driving around and causing all the pollution. They're advocating that people start walking more and start using the bike more and so getting around. So there'll be a change in our lives. And what will happen when our Heavenly Father breaks the lockdown and we end up in that kingdom? There will certainly be a change in our lives. We'll be doing things there that we've dreamt of, how we can give praise to our Heavenly Father, how no longer will we be fighting against that inner spiritual devil that we can call it. Our lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All these things that bring us and turn us away from our Heavenly Father. These things will all be at an end when we suffer from aches and pains. I mean, we go for this walk through the woods and round the roads, and my knee gives me some stick, and I find I'm half limping by the time I get back. But when we get to the kingdom, I won't have that arthritis in my knee. I'll be fit. I'll be well. I'll be able to give God the praise that God is due. And I pray that I might be able to give that praise in my life now. And so, what I'd like to do, I'd like all of us to think about the things that are happening in our world today, in our lives today. And all these things that we see that are happening on the television, the clapping, the praises, the appeals, that these things are there to remind us of the love that God has for us. And what better reminder could we have of God's love for us than what we're about to do? We've got bread. We've got wine. We've got the symbols of the blood and the body of our Lord. That body broken for our sakes. That blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have a lot to thank God for. And so we thank him for this bread and wine that he has given to us this morning. And we pray that when that day, when the lockdown is called, each of us now might hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." Thank you for listening.